The past few weeks have been pretty festive and exciting, as Father Brendan would proclaim Merry Christmas in a church full of decorations. Today, though, he sends a deacon out to tell you, we're back to ordinary time. Or as my wife would say, back to the real world. After several weeks of Christmas planning, decorating, most of now have put away their decorations. But we can keep alive the memories of the birth of Jesus and the joy that we've spent with family and friends. For Connie and I, we were blessed to have all of our kids home for a couple days during Christmas. Now some of us are trying to get our homes and our schedules organized. Parents are working and children are back in school. Some are trying to achieve New Year's goals or habits, like reviewing your finances, your wellness or your fitness, or creating more prayer time. How do you respond in the new year to get back on track as ordinary time begins in the church calendar? There's nothing ordinary about the mission of Christ, who in a few short calendar weeks for us goes from birth to active ministry. It's like a scene in a play with John baptizing with water and proclaiming there's one greater than he who is to come. Act 2 opens up with the introduction of Jesus, his baptism, and the presence of the Trinity last weekend. With blessings from the Father and support from the Holy Spirit, Jesus now takes center stage, prepared to lead God's mission. John slowly steps back, out of view, still active in ministry until his death. Next up in John's Gospel, the first disciples are chosen and introduced. Instead of placing us at the baptism like the other Gospels, John's telling us what he remembers. He wants his audience and us to see the risen Christ that's in our midst. Written near the end of the first century, many were troubled that Jesus had not yet returned, and their faith began to dwindle. It wouldn't be long before they forgot what God had told them. Israel tires of waiting, and many turn to earthly kings in divided territory. God's teachings and values are set aside for their own wants, their own desires. John the Baptist today wants us to know Christ, the Lamb of God who came to take away the sin of the world, just as he does. That the risen Christ is the one that came to prophesy, and now it's in our midst, living among us. And just as Jesus was baptized by John, through the grace of the Holy Spirit, we're called to remember and live our lives in accordance with our baptismal promises. We're a blessed people, called to take up the cause of Christ. And it's in the everyday moments and what we can do that's extraordinary. Day-to-day personal holiness in the ordinary of life, being loving, faithful, caring, compassionate, forgiving, and sharing God's blessings and gifts with one another. It's amazing what Christ can do through us if we're willing to accept that call. It reminds me of the selfless work that Deacon Randy and Deacon Romolo have done over the years. And recently I've gained great insight and appreciation for Denise and Maggie, who lead the Isaiah Bible Study Group. Their humbleness, their kindness, their love for the Lord and willingness to share it is pure gift. There's a rich history of offering meaningful programs at the parish, and we're all blessed to partake in these opportunities of faith. It's amazing how a small gift of the Spirit from one person can blossom and grow to enrich all of us. There's nothing ordinary about following Jesus, and through our baptismal call, all are asked at some level to offer our lives in service to Christ, much like the prophet Isaiah and St. Paul today. To be the beacon of light, to be hope for others, that they may see and follow. In Isaiah, our first reading, His life was destined in the womb in service to Christ. And written as the second of four poems, known as the Servant Songs, each poem describes for us a mysterious suffering servant, believed at time to be Isaiah, and at other times the nation of Israel. With a twofold summons from God, the first task is to gather all the lost sheep of Israel, to bring together the people of the chosen race who've allowed themselves to scatter in their faith and in their service to God, to return from exile, from sinfulness, from idolatry, to bring back and restore their faith and confidence in God, allowing themselves to grow closer to Him. Beyond the servant's comprehension, God then wants His favored nation to shine brightly for all to see, not for themselves, but as a sign of faith and a sign of hope to all corners of the earth, to be an example of God's love, His mercy and forgiveness for others, for all to know there's one true God, one King of Israel and of the world. St. Paul tells us today he's called to be an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. He's called and sent, much like the suffering servant that we read in Isaiah. Paul, as well as each of us, through our baptismal calling, are to be servants of the one true suffering servant, Jesus, sent by God to gather the lost sheep, carry them forth the message of God's kingdom. St. Paul focuses on the church, specifically near his home in Corinth, where the people have lived their lives less pleasing to God. He calls them to holiness, to remember that through their baptism, our lives are never the same, that we're set apart and we belong to God. He calls on them to direct their focus to the mission of Christ. And just like the people of Israel, St. Paul uses his church as a ray of light, a promise of hope, an example for churches throughout the world to grow closer to God, offering salvation to all who believe. As baptized Christians throughout the century, our calling in life has been constant, to be the beacon of Christ's light for one another, to live in the ordinary of daily holiness, bringing one another closer to Jesus. As missioned by Christ, working together, we can accomplish the extraordinary.